Appreciate that. All right, the arising beast from the sea is what lesson 29 is all about. Again, the seven key characters that we're talking about in Revelation chapters 12 and 13. And this, again, right in the middle, it's not chronological. It's not in the order in which they appear. It's simply God is describing these seven key characters. They are key in the book of Revelation, and especially in chapters 12 and 13, and during the time of the tribulation. And so we wanted to kind of highlight that. I've called it section 5, and but we are getting more into the tribulation and what happens. We have not really given much of a timeline other than the rapture being imminent. That is any time. And then as soon as the rapture taking place, we believe that it'll be 7 years tribulation. We have talked about that. We've talked about the dividing of the tribulation into half, and the Bible does deal with that, time, times, and half a time. And so 3.5 years dividing, obviously, the tribulation. We know that many things happen the first half, many things happen the second half. And throughout the tribulation, though, we have the beast, this arising beast from the sea. And so it's very important, probably the longest lesson out of this section, because there is so much about the beast, the Antichrist. There is so much about his presence. And so we want to spend the time on it and deal with it. Number one, we looked at his personal characteristics and did that a couple weeks ago. And then we also have looked at that's all we looked at as far as that. We've been in dealing with that. That is a pretty big section. So let's go ahead and do our memory verse, and it is Revelation 13:4. And we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. And let's do it again. Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. Father, thank you so much that we know who is able to make war with the beast and the dragon, and who will win that war. And we thank you, Father, that we're on your side. And no matter what happens in the battle, the battle that you talk about over and over in your word, and we know that we are more than conquerors. Please help us today to learn from your word. I pray you'll speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need today from thy word, and because of your word, I pray we'll be different when we leave here today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And we did introduce this section talking about he is the most powerful yet wicked person to ever walk on the earth, and he is a vile and vicious man. As we dealt with his personal characteristics, we started at chapter 13 and verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. We talked about his humanity. He is a human. This is a person, the beast, the Antichrist. He is a human being, a person. His representation, he represents a system. A worldly system, a cosmos, that is, a system that is against God and has always been against God. He represents the system we learned about in the book of Daniel, the kingdoms of man, the empires of man, and it is a system that has always been against God, a system that we could say Nimrod, when he built his tower of Babel, he built the tower to reach heaven. A system inspired and pushed by Satan that is against God, opposed to everything God stands for. The Antichrist, the beast from the sea, will be a representative. The Bible says here, and we talked about it last week, but the seven heads, the name of blasphemy on the seven heads. And so, again, each of these kingdoms, if you will, they represent blasphemy. They are against God, and they've been against God. And so he represents a system. But again, don't misunderstand, he is a human. He is a person. He will be a personality. He will be on the news. He will be famous, obviously. He will be a rising star in every area, and we'll talk about that today as far as his abilities. But we have to, you know, again, we have to understand that if the rapture is going to take place even in the next 20 years, I would have to believe that this person is a rising person, you know, somewhere, somehow. Perhaps in high school, perhaps in college right now. Maybe he'll be younger. We really don't know, but there will be things said. But again, he represents everything that is against God, all right? And so that's very clear. We talked last week about his nationality and came to a conclusion. He is a Roman Jew, and therefore probably he will hide his Jewish roots. He would not necessarily want people to know that, as Hitler did not want people to know that. And so we've already experienced someone like that in Hitler. Of course, the Bible talked about someone like that in the Apostle Paul. And so again, as far as being a Roman Jew, not being like Hitler, but just with that type of nationality, that type of background. And so again, the you know, these are things that you would look for. You would look for someone who comes out of what we're calling the revived Roman Empire, and but they have a Jewish heritage. They are also Jewish, and so this is going to be a key thing. He is a and the reason I think God gives us some of these details is we understand he is a composite man, and he represents all people. Okay. He definitely is representative of all people, and so that is important. Then the next thing that I had is his abilities, and the Bible does talk quite a bit about his abilities, and so I want to show you some things, and there are many verses we could look at, but just some things. Again, this is one man. Okay, we know some men. We've watched some politicians. We've watched some leaders. We've watched some great men over the years, and men that have done great things. This man, perhaps, as a man and in human terms, will be the greatest as far as what our world has seen, other than the Lord Jesus. But they crucified him, if you recall. So let's look at his abilities. First of all, he is an intellectual. Go back to Daniel 8 and verse 23. And we are going to be skipping around here a little bit. Daniel 8 and verse 23. It says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." And there are other verses that would prove this is a man who's very, very smart. He's an intellectual. I believe that the Antichrist will have gone to college. I believe perhaps he will have gone to several colleges. I think he will know several languages. Again, this is all my own speculation. I know that he will be an intellectual. He will have answers when people ask questions. He understands deep things, dark sentences, things that are difficult. He is very intelligent, and certainly nothing wrong with being intelligent. Amen. Not a thing wrong with it in the world. We have our own school to try to help our young people learn everything they need to know. But with intelligence, there's a responsibility, and I call that wisdom, because wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. And of course, God says he'll give wisdom. And praise the Lord for that. And that's why some people who don't have as much education seem smarter than those who have lots of education. I was talking, went to the doctor. It's such a rare thing. But anyway, talked to an assistant, and he's a Christian man. We were talking today, the other day, and I asked him if he was saved, and he told me he was, and that's always a blessing. But the key thing is, I said, so in your medical profession, I said, I bet it was hard going to college and hearing all the stuff that is anti-God. I said, I don't know how any doctor could ever know the human body and not believe in God. To think that a body, well, not even the humans, but animals, plant life, all of it, how that there is not intelligent design. How could they possibly ever believe that? And he said he got an argument after argument after argument. Because when you think about the human body, I get every now and then I think about some function that is starting to go wrong. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got some functions going wrong. Yeah, it all started with the hair falling out. No, I'm not sure if that's wrong. But you think, come on. I mean, how could anybody, just your skin alone, you know, your skin, it's alive. And how could people ever think, we sure are lucky that worked out? You know, we're sure lucky. We're sure lucky these eyes, you know, that it worked out. You know, we're sure, boy, we're sure lucky our ears were, you know, and the taking oxygen to all the parts of the body and the heart pumping and not being plugged in somewhere. Isn't it amazing? Absolutely amazing. Well, again, there are those that are very smart intellectually, but they don't have wisdom of God. And the Antichrist will be just like that. He will be an intellectual, but obviously he thinks he can bring God down. And that is foolish. So anyway, and he's an intellectual. Then what else? What other abilities does he have? Look over at Daniel 11 and verse 36. Daniel 11 and verse 36. I wrote this word, oratorical. I like that. Amen. In other words, he can give a good speech. Daniel 11, 36, and the king, talking about the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. He is quite the orator. He will give great speeches. People will love him. They will think that's the greatest thing. I mean, he will convince people of things. It is going to be unbelievable. Now, you know, we've seen that. We've seen it. We can't, you know, people, yeah, look at healthcare. Okay, but even go back before that, where speakers talk people into things, just unbelievable, you know. Antichrist will be the best. He will be a great, great speaker. Again, that's why I believe he'll go up through school, high school, and make good grades, and go into college and make good grades, and I think several courses and colleges, and he will have a charm and a personality. In Revelation 13:5, it talks about him as well, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Notice what goes with it, though: great things and blasphemies. Now again, blasphemy is against God. His speeches will be against God. His speeches will be, hey, humans, we don't need God. Do you understand that in our day, today, right now, many, many people think we don't need God, we don't want to hear about God, we don't want to talk about God, and we're offended when you talk about God. They think we're stupid. They think we don't have a clue. We believe in fairy tales. They think we're the ones that are all mixed up. We need all kinds of counseling. And while they pop their pills and everything else that they're doing just to keep functioning, you know, they think we're nuts because we take a day like Sunday and come to church, you know, and his speeches is going to wow them. That group is going, they're going to cheer. Yeah, people are now. Anti-God messages are being spoken all across our nation. People are cheering. People are rallying against people who believe in the Lord. And this guy is going to, you know, you would think that when we read this verse that he's going to speak great things and blasphemies. You'd think, blasphemy against God? Well, people will rise up. No, they won't. Not against him. Not against him. And we're seeing it today. We're seeing it today. You know, who wants to be thrown in jail for hate speech if you preach against this kind of stuff? Who's going to take the stand and be unpopular and have threats? Who would do that? And so he's going to be very popular because he's saying what so many people want to hear. He's going to be saying the things people want to hear. Then he's political, of course, and over he's referred to as a king. In Revelation 17 and verse 11, which we've gone here many times, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And so here he is, literally, he is powerful with these kings, and he himself is a king as such and a leader. He is very political. And again, this doesn't just happen. Okay, how do you become a king? Well, how do you become a leader? Well, you know, in our day and age, it's political. It's not a monarchy where you inherit that or anything like that. I mean, he will be very, very political minded. He will be a politician, promising this, telling these people this, speaking out of both sides of his mouth, offering all kinds of deals for this group and that group. And we know of one major lie that is going to take place. We know, for beyond a shadow of a doubt, when he promises peace to the Jews, and they get it for a while, and then he totally turns on them. But that's how it works. Political. Very, very much a politician. I mean, you know, kissing the babies and the pilgrims and all that kind of stuff. Hello, pilgrim. How are you? Amen. And we were talking about the Antichrist. There's an Indian downstairs? Two Indians. Praise the Lord. I'm nervous. How many?
46.
Amen. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. They will get turkeys. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Not that they have to come up here for the turkeys, because this class is not a bunch of turkeys. Anyway, so give them a turkey. And that's political, see? That's what he's going to do. But anyway, he'll be very, very much the politician and wowing people with his intelligence, his speech, his political abilities. And so that'll be definite. He will be a businessman, Daniel 11, verse 43. And again, other verses, he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Again, very much a businessman, knowing how to deal with business, knowing how to make business deals. Revelation 13, verse 16, and this is a something, you know, most everybody, when you talk about tribulation, this is what they want to talk about. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And that is a huge, huge business move. But guess what? It's happening. It is already happening. Computer chips are already being designed. I'm not sure if any have already been implanted in humans yet, but computer chips that will contain everything that they need to contain. I mean, and we're going to love it. Shirley, is that your hand up? Okay, go ahead. I just... Yes, thumb scanners. Thumb scanners are in several places. The computer chip, we've talked about this now for several years, with the, you know, how small these things can be, and the idea of a computer chip. I've read some business proposals of the future where you literally you'll have a computer chip embedded somewhere, and certainly the forehead would make sense. The hand would make sense, but you would have a computer chip embedded that would have everything. It would have so much information about you, including a GPS to locate you. Ooh, you know? Of course, I don't care. You know, I don't go anywhere. I don't, you know, I need to hide, but there is going to be a day when people will need to hide. But anyway, I'm just saying, so you will have this computer chip. Literally, you are going to walk in the store. Okay, you're not gonna do anything. You're gonna walk in, you are gonna get your items, okay, and every item has scannable things on it, and you are going to take your cart and walk through the door, and everything will be scanned, dealt with, your accounts will be debited. Yes. Money will be taken out. I always get confused on debits and credits with accounting. It's always backwards. But anyway, your money will be taken out of your account. To pay for that, the inventory will be reduced by whatever you took, and all of it is going to be taken care of right then and there, and no money, and we're going to love it.
Is the government going to be in charge of that computer program?
And it's going to be a mess. Yeah, you know, all I'm saying is, if you've tried to get on the government anyway, let's not get into that. Glenn, don't mess me up. The Antichrist is ever the businessman. And in our minds, we've thought, well, how could it ever be where you can't buy or sell? Well, if you refuse to take whatever mark or whatever chip or whatever it is that is required, and I don't think it's going to be tricky. I think people are going to make a decision in that day. They will have to make a decision. We won't. I don't believe we'll be there. Praise the Lord. But at any rate, the business, it'll be a very key thing that'll be taking place. I see a hand. I don't know who it is.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert. That I do not know. Anything is possible. Anything that we see today, yeah, anything we see today is going to be worse then. And so the only thing I point out, I'm not saying today's a day. I'm just saying that we see now, we're starting to see how, you know, as soon as barcodes came out on products, you know, It's a way of checking that product. Well, now smartphones, you can get an app to you can check the products. I mean, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even understand all of it. But one of our tracks that we have now, it has a little design doohickeys thing that'll take somebody right to our website. What's that called? It's not a doohickeys. I don't know. See, we're just old fashioned folk. Amen. But anyway, you know, and there's all that kind of stuff. And now we can see it. What there was something I just saw recently. Now anyway, it'll come to me next week. But maybe not. So business, he is a businessman and a business genius. And then, of course, military. You know, he will be a military leader. Again, we've seen men that are some of these things. The beast, the Antichrist, he will be all of these things. And Revelation 6 and verse 2. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Talked about that about a year ago. Revelation 13 and verse 2. It says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and a dragon gave him his power and his seat. The idea there is like a throne, a power, and great authority. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so he is a military man as well, and a military leader, and certainly knows how to have military strategy. And so, again, one man. But then add this little part to it. And this is the thing that, you know, there have been people that have done great things, and they've done great bad things even. And we would say about them, wow, you know, they were intellectual, or they were sure sharp in business, or they were quite the speaker, or they were a military leader, or a politician. They did all these great things. But here's one that I think is amazing, and that is he is religious. He is a religious leader. Revelation 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Wow. I mean, worship him. That's religion. Isn't that religion? Well, sure it is. They're going to worship him. And he is not going to stop them. And we'll learn about his cohort, the false prophet, who will promote the worship of him. And so now we see, well, wait a minute, you say, I thought he's preaching against the worship of God. Well, he is. The worship of God and promoting the worship of man. And I submit to you folks, that teaching, that thought has been going on for many, many years, and it's called humanism. Secular humanism. And it is rising. It is because it's been taught now so many generations, and that man is the measure of everything. Now again, I'm not against man, because I am one. But I know what we are. And you know what we have the Word of God, and over and over and over again, the Word of God shows us that at all time periods, we failed. There's never been, you know, man has not had success as far as sin and obeying God. We have a very poor track record. Okay, even the best fall short. That's what it all comes down to. And yet humanism is going to promote man. Now again, does that go way back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and where man is the measure? Or I think we can even go back to Cain, where God told him what kind of sacrifice to bring, and Cain brought his own sacrifice instead of what God said. Man says, here's what I want to do. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And man has been trying and trying and trying to do his own thing. Wait a minute, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, God said you can have anything you want, perfect environment, anything you want, oh yeah, anything you want. But there's one tree, you cannot eat the fruit of that tree. Man says, well, I'm going to, if I can have everything else, I'm going to have that too. And then man tried to cover it up by making clothes of fig leaves. And God said, that's not enough. And then God provides the covering for man's sin by shedding blood of a lamb. And so, again, the religion, you know, has been just escalating as to the religion of worshiping man. We think this seems very strange right now, but the Antichrist will be portrayed as a type of Messiah. Do you understand? My sister kind of gets into some of this stuff, and she'll send me every now and then links about messiahs of the day and what people are talking about. You'd be amazed how many false religions, cults, and all that are waiting for their messiah. They're waiting on their leader, their worldwide leader. It is throughout many, many different religions. And they're waiting on the coming of their Messiah. And the Antichrist is going to fit right in there with so many people, so many beliefs, so many ideas. And he is going to be a religious leader promoting the worship of himself as the Messiah, the leader. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, it says, who opposeth, talking about him, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Whew. Wow. I mean, it is hard to imagine, and yet that is exactly. And the thing is, this one man with all these abilities, he will accomplish what so many have tried, and that is a one world religion. He will accomplish that. Now, when I say one world religion, we've already recognized there will be people getting saved. There will be the gospel going forth. We have 144,000 preachers going out there. We have the two witnesses. I mean, people are going to be getting saved. There's going to be martyrdom taking place. But understand, in the tribulation time, it'll be very obvious there are just two religions. By the way, there's only two religions now. There's either Jesus said, I am the way, or there's any other way. So it becomes pronounced, though, during the tribulation. There won't be any mix-up there. And, you know, we see that in our day. We see the ecumenical mess that is going on today, trying to bring everybody together. Throw out the Bible so we can all get along. Throw out the truth so that we can all hold hands. It's been going on for years and years and years. You know, if you Baptists weren't so stubborn, you know, it's that kind of idea. That's been going on for many, 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 many years. And, you know, I don't mind getting along. I get along with a lot of people and don't mind getting along, but I'm not gonna sell out my Bible just to get along. Amen. I'm going to keep preaching the word. And who is it? You know, who it's those that name the name of Jesus Christ. Boy, a big bullseye, you know. And that's our day today. In the tribulation, it will be. You know, we think we have it hard. You know, we really think we've got it tough. I praise the Lord for the rapture, and I'm looking forward to the rapture, and I'm. You know, I'd love to see it happen very, very soon. But the truth of the matter is, we have it very easy here. You know, you take a stand for Christ and people, you know, they might give you a hard time. Some of our kids in the public schools, they take a stand for Christ, and people might give them a hard time. Some of you at work, people might give you a hard time. But it's just giving you a hard time. It's not where your life is in danger because of your stand for Christ. And so, again, we have to recognize that during the tribulation, it will be a terrible, terrible time. And it will be a time where people will have to stand for the truth. And when they do, we know the story, they will be martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often tell people, they say, Pastor, you know, I know you're going through a hard time, maybe something's going on or something like that. And I often say, well, you know, I may be going through a hard time, but I still have not been whipped with a cat of nine tails 39 times. And I still have not been hung on a cross. And praise the Lord. I'm not saying that won't happen. I'm not saying we won't die. I'm not saying we won't be persecuted unto death. I don't think this crowd will see that. But I'm very, very concerned about those little children over there in the nursery. We should be. And we need to do all we can. Keep fighting for the truth. The truth is always worth it. Amen. It's worth whatever price it costs. We need to keep fighting for the truth. Well, as we always do, we've run out of time. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God, and I thank you for this blessed book. We are so blessed to have the Word of God and to have a book like Revelation that we can study and we can see a little bit, just a glimpse. Into the future. And I'm reminded that John got to see that and record it as punishment by the government of that day and the religious leaders of that day, and they punished him, and you opened up heaven and the future to him. And I think of that and recognize that no matter what man may do to us, you have something far greater for us. And so we must always give you thanks. So continue to bless each person in this class, some with different needs. And I think of Linda back there with a biopsy to find out about possible cancer. Pray, God, that you would heal her body and take this away. I do thank you that she's been saved. And she's going to go to heaven someday, but we would ask that you'll help with this. And others, Lord, going through tough times, many traveling. I think of the Hawkins who are traveling today to be with Dan. I pray you'll bless them and give them safety. And we just pray that your will be done in our church, in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.